three different scriptures today. They're all short, so don't be worried. John chapter 20, starting in verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And then Acts chapter 2, the same verses we heard last week, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, the one who has come like wind, like breath, like a dove, and like fire, would you come to us here in this place? We know you're already here. Would you open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, our hearts to receive you? As we turn to your word in these moments, we pray that you would help us to hear what it is you want us to hear, so you could help us be who it is that you want us to be, and so that you might empower us to do what it is that you want us to do. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, I proposed to us that the Holy Spirit was perhaps the greatest unopened gift that many of us have ever been given. It's not to say that the gift is completely unopened. We've all at times peeked in the box and maybe peeled back the paper here and there. But if we're honest, there's few of us that would say we have really experienced all that the Spirit desires to be in our lives. And mostly that's simply because we often struggle to even know who the Spirit is and to even understand how he shows up when he shows up. We walk through this earth and we have this strange tugging on the inside at random moments, and we wonder if that's the Spirit or is it something funny that I had for lunch. We're thinking about a friend in the morning, and then we run into that friend in the grocery store in the afternoon, and we wonder, is it just coincidence or is that the Holy Spirit? We take a walk outside and a word of truth comes to us out of nowhere, and we wonder in that moment, are we really engaging the divine or are we just really gifted problem solvers? We don't speak all that much of these things, these moments when we feel as if the Spirit is meeting us where we are, because we're afraid of sounding too mystical or too charismatic or too crazy. But we feel these things. We experience them. And we don't always know what to do with them. If the Spirit of God is really always with me, always leading me and speaking and nudging and comforting and calling me, then how can I see him more? And how can I know him more? And how can I participate in what he's doing in this world more and more? Today, we're going to just begin getting to know him. We can't do it all at once. We're just going to kind of tip the surface here. In your life, have you ever made plans to meet someone that you had never seen before? As you make plans with that person, they'll often give you a few key identifiers so you might have a chance of knowing who they are when you walk into this strange meeting place. Say, when you walk in the door, I'm about 5'5", blondish hair, no glasses, wearing a pink shirt. When I'm going to meet a new person, I find that I'll enter into a room and I'll just kind of say a prayer like, "Please God, don't let this be awkward." And I immediately will start scanning the room, just desperately looking for some kind of eye contact. Is anyone else here in this place awkwardly looking around for some sign from a stranger that says that that is who they are there waiting for? Sometimes you can tell with just this quick glance when the look goes from searching to silently offering that question, "Are you one to that look of relief. Yes, we found each other, and that could have been so much worse. No matter how you go about it, meeting someone that you only have this very vague mental picture of, it can be kind of unsettling, a little bit awkward. This person can be sitting right in front of you, and you can miss them. We can approach the wrong person, hoping that it's them. And I wonder if the Holy Spirit ever feels like that stranger in the room, that one that we're trying to meet in the crowded place. We know he's there. He's told us he is. We expect him to be there, but pinpointing just who he is and just where he is can be a little bit tricky sometimes. And so today, I want us to imagine that we're setting up this blind meeting of sorts with the Holy Spirit. We say, Holy Spirit, I want to know you. And so whenever you pass my way, here's how you can find me. Here's what I look like. Here's where I'll be sitting. Here's what I'll be doing. What about you, Spirit? When you pass my way, how will I find you? And hear his response, something like, oh, as a breath, or perhaps as a dove, maybe even as a fire in your midst. We say, excuse me? How is that supposed to help me at all? Explain yourself, Holy Spirit. Who are you? What do you look like? What do you do? Because I don't want you to pass me by. And so the Spirit begins his introduction. The world first knew the Holy Spirit as breath or as wind. The word is ruah in Hebrew. It's the same word for spirit, breath, and wind, and that's intentionally so. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the very first words of Scripture. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind, ruah, spirit from God, swept over the face of the water. From the very first moments of creation, it was the Holy Spirit who turned chaos into cosmos, who turned this formless void into this realm absolutely beaming with life. The deep ocean was stirred up, and one by one, creatures, living creatures, began to emerge from it. This wind that creates in Genesis 1 is the exact same breath that makes man from dust in Genesis 2:7, when it says, then the Lord God breathed into his nostrils, and the breath, ruah, spirit of life, and the man became a living being. Wind, breath, spirit, all the same word, all engaged in this work of bringing about new life and new beginnings among us. Job testifies to this very same life-giving spirit breath. Job 33:4, he says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. The psalmist says in Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. John 6, verse 63, Jesus says to his disciples, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. And so we ask the Holy Spirit, where are you? How can I see you when we pass by? And hear him as he says in return, as you're looking for me, my child, look for signs of life around you. There was a time that every single one, your friends and your enemies alike, were just newborn babies, only seconds old in this world. And that baby was picked up and given a swat on the behind, and the baby opened its mouth and let in that very first breath. I created that life, he's saying. I am that breath. Not a one would have made it 2 minutes in this world without me. Look for me by looking for signs of life. Though still breathing, I'm right there in them. Listen for children giggling as dads throw them up in the air. Laughter is a sign of life. Where laughter is, there I am. Look for old friends embracing as they meet, offering comfort to console one in need, a pat on the back to congratulate, a word of good news, a hug to simply say, I love you. Friendship, it's a sign of life. When you see it, there I am. Listen. Listen for songs of hope. See the beauty of the sun shining through the trees, signs of my breath. Everywhere you see life, the Spirit says, look for it. Open your eyes. Look for life, and there I will be. And notice the Spirit's breath isn't just the original gift of life, but it's the ongoing gift of renewed life. Like your mom used to say to you, perhaps, I brought you into this world, I can take you out of it. Hear the Spirit say this morning, I brought you into this world in the first place. Surely I can renew life in you when it begins to fade away. I did this, I can do it again. This is the Spirit the prophet Ezekiel knew very well. He was ministering to a group of people of Israel during a time of great rebellion. They find themselves in exile because they had chosen to go their own way more times than anyone could count. The people had dug themselves into a literal grave, separated themselves from the presence of God, and it was no one's fault but their own. They were done for. Then Ezekiel has this bizarre vision in chapter 37. He says, the hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very, very dry. He said to me, mortal, can these bones live? I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath or spirit to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath, spirit in you, and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. And so the Spirit gives that very first breath of life. And the Spirit gives that renewed, reborn life with God again and again. Dry bones, bones wasting away, bones beyond the point of death. They were very, very dry. That means they were dead. Bones that had grown weary in doing good. Bones that had worn themselves ragged with busyness that shut God out. Bones that were slowly eaten away by anger and resentment. Bones that had sat in that same graveyard for years because of laziness or the fear of the unknown or because of proclivity to comfort and ease. The Spirit of God, who originally molded these bones together and breathed into the lungs, who gave oxygen needed to get the heart pumping, can breathe again and can get the blood flowing and the heart pumping again and like never before. The Spirit can see to it that those dry bones come back together and that they jump up with renewed strength and awe and they start dancing like they've never danced before. The Spirit can see to it that these dead bones live again. These dead, weary, dry bones in Ezekiel, they come together, they start breathing, they start dancing, and most importantly, they start worshiping the living God once again. And they know anew that God is Lord of all. The Spirit of God invites us to re-encounter the glories of our living God again and again. Any dry bones out there? My friends, our Holy Spirit can breathe into those dry bones and bring new life, new passion, new worship in you and in us. When Jesus visits his disciples after the resurrection, in John, he says to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, it says, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Can you picture that? Jesus breathing the Spirit onto his disciples. The word used here for the breath of Jesus that sent them out is the exact same word used for the Spirit that filled Adam's lungs in Genesis 2, and the same word used for the Spirit that brought those bones to life in Ezekiel 37. The Spirit that Jesus breathes into his people immediately empowers them for ministry in the world. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Here's my Spirit." In this, he's indicating that perhaps there is no real life apart from mission. And there is no mission without the breathing, sending Spirit in us. Feel dead these days? Where's your sense of mission? You'll come to life as you live into that. He says, so as you look for me, the Spirit says, look for new life and look for renewed life. Look around you for the second and third and 500th chances. Look for those who have no place being in worship, and yet here they are. And know that there I am too. Listen. Listen for the stories among you of those who were lost and who are now found, of those who went their own way and were called back to me, of those who were crippled with doubt and yet are still asking the questions of life. Look around you for those who approach the Lord's Supper table as often as it's offered, admitting humbly they need God's grace again. Look around you for those who are broken and hurting and messy, coming into this church and going out of it on mission, still having work for me to do. And as these folks pass by you, be really, really still. Hear the Spirit say, "I bet you'll feel my wind as their body moves past yours." And you can know that's me. The Spirit of life, the Spirit of another chance at life. This is the Spirit who breathes in us. And if you don't catch me in the wind and in the breath, hear the Spirit say, simply keep on looking. Perhaps you'll catch me in something like a dove. That's how Jesus saw me when he was baptized, he'd say. You know, it's not every day that we see where'd that come from? That we see a dove flying over our head, or a blood, that would be weird too. We don't see doves day in and day out. Maybe the image isn't very helpful. But then we stop and remember what this dove did. It came down and it landed, alighted on Jesus, immediately pointing people to the gospel. Immediately bringing good news that the Messiah has come and his salvation is the real deal. This dove-like spirit, it's that one in the background pointing the spotlight on the Son, seeking God's glory for our good. Eyes are all watching him as he flies around, and he lands where all eyes will see only one thing, and that is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And so hear the Spirit say, as you're waiting for me to meet you, simply look for the things around you that point to Christ. Where you encounter the gospel story humbly proclaimed with a longing for hearts to praise Jesus and not the one telling the story. Know that there I am. As the crowds pass you by, look for those among you who look a lot like Jesus. Maybe they bend down to pick up what another has dropped. You know, Jesus was really good at bending down. Maybe something about their presence indicates that they didn't just stumble into worship and that the prayer that they voiced before the offering plate is passed isn't the first prayer they prayed in days. Because Jesus was in worship and communion with his Father always. They may be the one choosing to sit by the stranger, the one choosing to love on the fidgety child, the one who's taking note of those who are out because of heartache or sickness, and they're making notes so they can touch base with them in the coming days because Jesus was mindful of these. They may be the ones among us who speak up for the voiceless, who embrace the mistreated. Jesus did this. As you're looking for me, the Spirit would say, look for the ones who walk like Jesus walked. Look for the ones whose lives cast a light on Him, and there, every single time, you will find me. And if the breath and the dove aren't so clear, you can also look for the Spirit and the fire. In fact, that's how the church first came to know Him. Acts 2, 1 through 4, that Pentecost story. Suddenly from heaven, there came like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Just like that very first morning in Genesis, this Spirit wind, which begins a new day on earth with this eruption of sounds, with things breaking open in heaven and coming to earth. The Spirit wind is doing the very same thing right here in Acts, doing what He does best, bringing something new to life. In this case, it's us. It's the church. What is heard in Acts 2 is then seen as something like tongues of fire. This is the actual coming of the Spirit to earth. These fiery tongues become the gifts of other tongues, and the Spirit, right there on the spot, miraculously enables people to begin to speak. The very first gift of the Spirit for the church, nothing less than the gift of proclamation for all to hear. Verses later, we see the very first one to speak out of this new gift is Peter. Peter's the one who was known as the betrayer, the one who followed Jesus at a distance on the night of His arrest. We last left him weeping in the courtyard. Peter, the disciple that was tested and found wanting. And now with the Spirit upon him before this perplexed crowd, Peter, of all the people, is the very one to stand up and lift up his voice and proclaim openly the word that only weeks before he was unable to speak. The Spirit ignited within this once cowardly disciple a new gift, a bold proclamation for all to hear. Could this be the same fire that Isaiah saw in his vision in chapter 6? He sees the Lord seated on the throne. He says, one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth and with it said, now this has touched your lips. Your guilt has departed. Your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. Fire. It brought with it a call, and with the call, a passion to accept that call and proclaim God's name loudly for all to hear. Could the Spirit be the same as that burning fire that we find in Jeremiah 20, verse 9? Jeremiah says, if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. This fire igniting Spirit, it seems, is nothing less than the power that enables the people of God to go public with the good news of this God, unashamed and unafraid. This morning, would you hear the Spirit say, as you're looking for me, look around you for those pockets of passion. Look for those who have a story to tell, and they can't keep quiet until every heart has heard. Look for those among you frantically flipping through the pages of Scripture while the sermon is being preached, learning the story so they can make it their own. Hear the Spirit say, pay attention to your own heart. When there's a word of encouragement or conviction or challenge stirring up in you that you feel impressed to share and your heart won't stop racing until you do, he says, that's me. That's the fire ignited in you. And the passion of my people to proclaim the gospel truth, I am there. Breath, dove, fire. I'm beginning to see the Spirit among us every day. The Spirit that is breath, life, and renewed life. I see it in your eyes. When you're singing on a Sunday or when you're hearing these words of truth again, and I see some of you guys as you encounter God here among you, as you tear up and stop in your tracks and right here in this place. And there's something inside of you that is asking God to have all of you again and again. It's almost like new life is happening right here every single week. And some of you have been alive a long time already. And yet, there's new life. The Spirit, like the dove, who moves in the shadow so Christ can be seen in the light. I see him in our Spark Sunday School teachers. Week in and week out, this handful of adults that very few of you even know who they are. They come in early, a lesson from Scripture prepared for these little rambunctious kids to try to engage and hear. And they come full of love and full of patience. And did you hear sweet Aaron's testimony in that video? A little girl who hadn't been in church until the last 6 months. And she said, what did I learn in Spark? She said, you know, I never knew this, but Jesus is God's own son. I see the Spirit like a dove that points to Jesus Christ. And our Spark teachers. And the Spirit that is fire, that is passion and proclamation. Oh, I see him and I want to see him more and more. The first person that comes to mind is my friend Muhammad. Muhammad's a friend from Syria. When I lived in Syria, he was the first believer that we knew of that came from a Muslim background to believe in Christ. And Muhammad told me one day he had been having visions of Jesus calling him out to be a shepherd. He was about 24 years old. And with tears in his eyes, he said, Jamie, I am almost positive that I will die because of my faith in Jesus Christ here in Syria. He said, I probably won't live a long life, and that's okay. He said, but I just hope I get to live long enough so that my family and my friends and the Syrian people get to know that Jesus loves them through me and through my testimony. I just hope I live long enough for them to hear that. Amen. The Spirit as a fire, that passion ignited in us. We just can't keep this story inside. As I'm learning to see him, I'm getting to know him. And yet I find that quite often I still look right at him and keep on looking, never realizing the one that I needed to meet was right there before me. But more and more, he's catching my eye. He's catching my heart. And I pray the same thing for each one of us. May we keep on getting to know the one who abides in us. Until we know him as well as we know that friend whose voice you know even before you saw them. May we know him as well as that friend that we are eager to introduce to our other friends. May we know him like that friend that we run up to and embrace without a thought, just because that's what old friends do. May we know the Spirit God, the one who has been with us since our very first breath, the oldest friend any of us have got. May we know him like that. And may we keep breathing in his new life. May we keep turning our eyes to the signs that point to Christ around us. May we keep paying attention to that burning in our hearts that says, you've got a story to tell. Tell it. May we keep doing that until we know him like that old faithful friend, until we know him so well that we couldn't miss him even if we tried. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, in so many ways you're mysterious. These images of wind and breath, of a dove, of fire. We're not always totally sure what to do with those. And yet we want to know you. We want to know what it is to live in the fullness of who you are in us. And so would you help us this day breathe in your spirit of new life? Would you help us this day look around and see where Jesus Christ is exalted and help us get in line and exalt him too, knowing that that's where you hang out? And would you help us today allow that flame within our hearts to be ignited, the passion within us to overwhelm us to where we cannot help but be your people in this world and speak your word until all have heard, knowing that as we lean into that passion, we are leaning into you. So would you move freely in us, come more to life in us, and as you do, would you spread your goodness in our community and in our world? This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.